So, O Lord, we pray for your presence now. We pray, O Lord, and know that even though heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall not fail. Sun and moon shall cease their shining, but he will not alter the thing which has gone forth from his lips. He has said, and shall he not do it? He hath spoken, and shall he not make it good? May we have that confidence in the word of God on this day. Bless your servant and your servants, and this portion of, our worship service. May it be to your glory and to our good. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the word of God, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Amen. May God add richly to his word as we consider it here today. J. Gresham Machen gave a talk entitled in 1933, Mountains and Why We Love Them. Mountains and Why We Love Them. And not everyone here knows this, but my wife and I were just in Italy for 2 weeks in the Dolomites, or the Southern Alps. And I was, as an aside, I was thrilled. I took the article with, and as I was reading the article in South Tyrol, he mentioned South Tyrol in his article about the mountains and the Alps. He writes in his article, "Can the love of mountains be conveyed to those who have it not?" And he says it's kind of like explaining, for those who love it not, it's explaining color to a blind man, or, and I chuckled when he wrote this, explaining the Constitution to President Roosevelt, then President Roosevelt in the 1930s. I brought the article on the trip and decided to bring it because I was thinking about what to preach today, and much of our time away was in the mountains. We climbed and hiked and got lost and all kinds of things of that, and spectacular views, just spectacular views, the grandeur of the mountains. And our trip it was not just a Disney trip, and not that I suggest a Disney trip for anyone, but it was not a Disney trip in that it was just looking, we were looking for fun, but it was a time of reflection and even a time of growth. I took my well-referenced Bible cards with me, verses that I consider over and over. Wait for the Lord, my soul, and wait, and in his word I put my trust. Or not that we are competent in ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Or he will keep you in perfect peace, that type of reflection. And Colleen and I tried to memorize, and we did a pretty good job, I don't know if I could do it in front of you here today, to memorize Psalm 46, and we recited it, I'll just say numerous times, I want to say several hundred, that may be an exaggeration. And the reason for that is that we wanted to, or I wanted to, and I wanted us to, work on our hearts and our hearts being settled before God. That, as the psalm speaks about, not dreading or not fearing, and to think about God as our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble, and that we will not fear, even though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. And I want that for me, I want that for my wife, and I want that for the body of Christ here today. That somehow we would get a taste of what the psalmist is writing here, that that even though the chaos, that somehow we would be at peace. So let's consider Psalm 46 and the mountains, today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Machen wrote that Matterhorn is the highest mountain in Europe. He said that it was, as well as a mountain, it was a symbol. That is, that it represents something other than itself. And the psalmists obviously know that or use that type of language, that in Psalm 125, what we just read responsively, that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, right? That they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken and endures forever, or the references to God's city, Zion, often like a mountain, that it's a holy mountain, that the foundation is on a mountain. And yet, of course, that's not the only way that the mountains are referenced. Before the mountains existed, we read in Psalm 90, God was, or God is. That he created the mountains. There was a time when the mountains were not, but not true for God. And the mountains, in fact, before the Lord, melt like wax before our God in Psalm 97, and quake when God appears, so that God is over the mountains. We see his power and his strength, and the symbol or the word pictures then are used variously concerning mountains. The psalmist and the biblical authors. But they're not just, it's not merely that they would use these word pictures and references to mountains and others to be cute or to be nice, but to the end that our souls and our hearts would be ministered to by God and actually be at peace. That is, that when the psalmist is writing these things, he's not writing it so that he might show off his skill, his literary skill, but that we would read these things, that we would see these things, and somehow they would be applied to us properly. That we would be, the psalmist speaks about being, our hearts being, our inner souls being strong, or Psalm 138, that we would be stout-hearted, rich and deep, and not be unsettled and fearful. So in Psalm 127, the Lord is my light and my salvation. What shall I fear? Right? What shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or Psalm 61, that from the ends of the earth I call to you. My heart grows faint. My heart grows faint. I am tired. I am discouraged. That there's something missing. That I am not at peace. And yet I call to you. And yet you've been my refuge and a strong tower against the foe. And that I take refuge in the shadow of your wings. In the shadow of your wings. Or Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord before me. And because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Or Psalm 21, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. And that, where does it come? I look to the hills. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Or the Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusts in him. And I am helped in Psalm 28. Or Psalm 3, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all of my fears. From all of my fears. And of course, it's not only the psalmist who thinks about things of the heart. Jesus says something about, doesn't he say something about, let not your hearts be troubled, right? Troubled. And that who of you by worrying can add anything to your life? Or Paul in Philippians 4, making reference to saying that we should take all that's in our hearts and that we present them so that we would have peace in the Lord. So the psalmist then, the sons of Korah in Psalm 46, that he begins with God and God being our refuge, that God is our refuge and our, that God is a refuge and our strength. And on top of that, that he is a very present help in trouble. That he is not an abstract God that exists out there merely, or maybe I shouldn't even say merely, but that he is a God who is a refuge and a strength and a very present help, if I can put it this way, today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. A very present help in trouble. So much so, or to what extent is he a help for us and a strength and a refuge, that therefore we will not fear. That we would not be anxious. That we would not be given over to worry and tomorrow. That we would not be defined by fear. That we would not lose our peace that is ours in God and Jesus. That what would define us is that we would not fear. And that our hearts would be at peace. And And if we were honest with each other or transparent with each other, I think we'd all confess, if you had to survey the last day or the last week, that there's something that made us worry, that there's something that brought fear to us, that there's something that took away peace from our hearts. And he says, the psalmist says, the sons of Korah say, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, even though the earth be removed, and those great mountains be thrown into the sea. Those great mountains be thrown into the sea, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, I think I can put it this way, I'm not being I think it's an appropriate use of the term, that even if all hell breaks loose, right, that if there's chaos, if you will, even if that, let's say, Matterhorn, 15,000 feet, Machen the man climbs it, and he says, even if that mountain goes down into the sea, even if that mountain crashes, that we would not fear, or a bow in the Dolomites, only 10,000 feet high, but still has snow, as your pastor and his wife can attest, walking through snow, even if that comes down, we would not fear. Though the waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its trembling. So that what the writer is getting at is that if there's a chaos or an undoing of God's order and creation, that there's an undoing of our world before our very eyes, that even though that is the case, even though nothing seems to make sense, nothing seems to be going properly, everything seems to be being undone before our very eyes, yet the psalmist says that we would have our eyes fixed, or that we would think differently, that we would have a sense of confidence even in this, that there is a place that we would go, and that we would not be alone, but that we would chase after something, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river, in verse 4, whose streams make glad the city of God. The earth be moved, the mountains fall into the depths of the sea, the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And yet the person of God, the people of God, are going to a certain place where they would find refuge and strength, and that it's the city of God, that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High, that God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved, that God will help her just at the break of dawn, that there would be a protection from chaos, and that there's chaos all around us, that the nations are raging, that the kingdoms be moved, and that he utters his voice, and that the earth melts before him. And he says in verse 7 that the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our translation, the Lord of hosts is with us. So he's tying in the God of Jacob, that he's tying, if you will, the psalmist's peace, the psalmist being free from fear in some sense to the history of Israel and to the history of the covenant, that the God of Jacob is the same God that we're referencing, that he's referencing here. And then he challenges, if you will, or tells us or encourages us or instructs us that we would come and behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolations of the earth, that he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two, and that he burns the chariot or the shield in the fire. That this is not just some power, that this is the God of all creation, that he is ruling over all creation, that he breaks the bow, that his power, that he cuts the spear in two. Let's just pause to make a point here. Note that the psalmist, that he's not giving us an abstract understanding of God, that he wants you to, if you will, see these things. He wants you to envision them. Not abstract, but word pictures, if you will, that it's rich and that it's beautiful and that it's picturesque, that he has us seeing, if you will, mountains and seas and rivers and streams, that it's richly ornamented. You could even say and argue that the reaction is visceral, that when you see these mountains and when you see these rivers and when you see these streams, that it causes a certain reaction within you, that you're not neutral to it, that you're not immune to it, that it's richly ornamented, rocks and mountains, or we referenced earlier the Psalm 61, that we would be under the shadow of his wings. That is, that the picture that is being painted is that one God who is protecting and images and motifs, not abstractions or propositions, that biblical images that are providing truth for us, and that we should not be afraid to use these and to be mindful of it, as obviously the biblical authors do. The biblical authors want you to see and to feel, if you will, the power of God over nature and the power of God over chaos and the power of God even over Satan, that the presence of God is with the people of God in the city of God all to the end, all to the end. And if you haven't been listening to this, that this imagery of mountains falling into the depths of the sea and the streams, the rivers, which streams make glad the city of God, and this imagery is all to the end, that you would be still. And know that I am God. That you would be still and know that I am God, that you would see this, that you would image this, so to speak, that you would perceive this, and that you would even feel this. Yes, feel this, that you would know, be still and know in verse 10, that I am God, that he rules and that he reigns and that he protecteth, if you will, that I will be exalted among the nations and that I will be exalted amongst the earth or throughout the earth. And then he repeats himself, if you will, the Lord of hosts or the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress or our refuge. I think we can say both, if you will, corporately and both personally, that all that's happening in the world, all the chaos, all the craziness, all the sin. I was so troubled before we left, and Iran and bombs and whatever I could should or should not say about that. I was troubled, and troubled about Gaza, and troubled about Pride, or the month of Pride, and all that is happening in our world and my world, and personally, chaos, just presbytery again tomorrow, and for, of course, it's different for all of us, doctor's appointments, whatever the case may be. And what the psalmist is saying is, be still. Be still. Be still. Be still. Be still. And to know that God is present and that God is able and that he helps those who are in the city of God. So note, as we consider this psalm, that man was never created to live independently of God, but in constant dependence upon him, daily, hourly, and even by the minute. That's what you were created. You were created to live in dependence upon God. Independently, never to live independently of God, but in dependence upon him both daily and hourly and by the minute. And that was true before the fall. And of course, then, is also true after the fall, when all hell broke loose, we could say literally and figuratively, that the earth be removed and that the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with their swelling. That is, that life is stress. This is Piper-esque. Sometime I heard him say this 10, 20 years ago. That you have kids, it is a guarantee that you will have stress and a reason to fear. That you have money and money issues, there is a reason there that you will have stress and that you will have reason to fear. If you go to work, which you should do, all things understood, that is then a reason for stress and for fear. Health is a reason for stress and fear. And we could provide 101 reasons to that end. I'm surprised more people aren't on Prozac. I'm surprised more people aren't stressed out. I'm surprised more people aren't overwhelmed because of the world in which we live and the craziness and the chaos. And the psalmist then tells us why or what caused the fear. And he says that you must be still in a life of unstillness, if you will. And you may think that your reasons, I think I can relate to this, that there's a sense in which my problems compared to the psalmist here seem so small, and what the psalmist, in one sense, he's generic, or he's not giving us a specific reason, and we can argue from the greater to the lesser. If you should be at peace, if the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, maybe our lesser problems also fall under that same category. From the greater to the lesser, if the Matterhorn falls into the sea, so then whatever it might be for you and us, that we would be mindful of God's presence and living in God's presence. And note then that the text is the psalm is not to the end that he would remove you or remove the problems from you. The prayer here is not that, Lord, take away my problems, which is not a bad prayer. Feel free to pray it. And we'll pray it some during our congregational prayer. But my point now is that the psalmist is saying that in the midst of life, that in the midst of the problems, that in the midst of the reasons for fear, that you should be at peace. That in light of all the craziness, in light of all the chaos, that he is a present help in trouble. And the psalmist is not here, at least I'm not saying the Bible never references this, but the psalmist here is not get us out of this trouble, but in fact help us to be sustained in the midst of it. That he would be our refuge. And note the sermon title, Refugio. That's an Italian word. I know Italian now that I've been there for a couple weeks. No, but it was interesting, these refugios. You would hike mountains, and sometimes you would hike for an hour or two, and you wouldn't see anyone. And the next thing, they would have what they call refugios, or these huts, these places of refuge. And you could go there, and they had food and drinks and so forth, and you'd go and just to find, if you will, find some rest, find some refuge. And there was a certain hike that we got lost the first time we did it, and the second time it took us 10 hours to do it, and we knew that in hour 9 that there was a refugio that we were going to try and meet and try and get there, I should say. And by the time we got to hour 9 or 10, we were limping, my knee hurt, feet hurt, hips hurt, afraid of heights, holding Colleen's hand. Lots of stories there, but for the sake of the sermon. But the goal was to get to the refuge. The beer never tasted better than that at refuge. And perhaps if we can spiritualize that, there is no refuge like the Lord. There is no refuge like the Lord. That's what the psalmist is saying, that there is no refuge like the Lord. That he is, what we find in our text is that God presents God in a very special way to Israel, that he is for us and with us. His people confess him in his grandeur, and that he is king over the world, but he is particularly and fondly confessed as the God of Jacob, because he has covenanted himself to be the God of Israel, and now the God of the church, of the Christian church, that he is with us, that he is Emmanuel, and refuge, and strength, and a fortress, and that he is like no other, so that we would have radical trust in him to the end that we would have, yes, even confidence in the Lord, despite our particular predicaments seen afresh. So Machen wrote in this article, so he writes this in the 1930s, and he recognizes that there's decadence throughout Europe and throughout America. He talks about Mussolini. He talks about that great ruffian who's a dictator in Germany. He talks about the end of European civilization. He talks about if Luther will prove to have lived in vain, given all that was taking place. And then he said, well, all things in, but then he goes on to say, will all things in church and state be reduced to one dead level, coming at last to an equilibrium to which all liberty and high aspirations will be gone? That is it over, if you will, as life as we know it? Will that be the end of all humanity's hopes? I can see no escape from that conclusion. In the signs of the times, too inexorable seems to me to be the march of events. He says, humanly speaking, there is no hope. No, I can only see one alternative. I can only see one alternative. The alternative is that there is a God who is in his own good time will bring forward great men again to do his will, great men to resist the tyranny of experts and lead humanity out again to the realms of light and freedom, great men above all who will be messengers of his grace. There is far above any earthly mountain peak of vision a God high and lifted who, though he is infinitely exalted, yet cares for his children amongst men. The man, Machen, coming through. There is far above any earthly mountain peak of vision a God high and lifted up who, though he is infinitely exalted, yet cares for his children amongst men. So I ask that you would read the psalm afresh. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, he will not fear, we will not fear, though the earth be moved and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her at the break of dawn. The nations rage and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Skipping a couple of verses. Be still and know that I am God. What more can I say than that? Be still and know that I am God, I being the Lord speaking in the psalm. And remember that Jesus went to a mountain to be alone and to pray on a mountain, and he refutes Satan on a mountain, teaches on a mountain, was transfigured on a mountain, was cursed on a mountain, ascended to heaven from a mountain, the Mount of Olives, all part of creating that new Mount Zion. And he brings you to that mountain, which is why Elder or Deacon John read from Hebrews. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Right? So be still. And know that he is God. Let us pray. O Lord, may we see and hear and feel and envision the truth of your scripture, even so that our hearts would be at peace. Help us, O Lord, for we invent new ways to be anxious and fearful, but in the Lord, let us be confident and strong. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.